Zane's words in the beginning, weren't they good? What Zane said, you know, here, to know the gospel every day, the mystery of it. God became a man. He came for me. He loves me. He speaks to us. He cares about us. He washes our feet. He ministers to us. He upholds us. He gives us a good belly laugh. I had a couple of those recently. Wow. It does good like medicine. You need a belly laugh. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him that. You need a belly laugh. You need a good belly laugh. Right, Phil? Huh? We get it. We need it. We need it. How do you get one of those? How do you get a good belly laugh? I think you're around somebody or somebody, you know, a couple people, and you're, you know, and it just happens, you know. It just happens. By myself, I don't know if it's going to happen. I got to say, sometimes I do think of something. I'm by myself in the car, and I'm driving, and I think of something, and I start laughing about it. Has that ever happened to anybody here? You know, that is a good sign. That's a very good sign. I'm okay. I'm sane. I read an article about the health of a nation when a nation has a sense of humor. Then it's a sign that it's a healthy community or healthy society. A sense of humor, I think it can apply to individuals. You know, if I can laugh at myself and at life and about things that are going on, it's a beautiful thing. And so when we speak about love in 1 Corinthians 13, it's really about being healthy. I want to point something that I know, because a lot of you are really like mature believers in the Word, and maybe you know this text, 1 Samuel, and you know you are real Bible readers, and probably you know this. I read it in another Bible this morning, so I got it. I mean, this afternoon, so I have to. It's 1 Samuel 18, yeah, verse 17, 1 Samuel 18, verse 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me." No, I got it wrong. I got the wrong. Was it that woman? He had two daughters. Michael is the other one, yeah. And that comes a little bit later, right? Yeah, verse 20, 28. Okay. Yeah, okay, good. I got it right then. All right, sorry. Here it is. Verse 19. I could write her name up here on the screen. Merab. And Saul says, "I can give her to David to be his wife." Now, if you were David, would you kind of get excited about that? I mean, is that a good thing? The king wants to give me his daughter, and I would actually be in the family. Is that a good thing? You know, at this point in the story, that's a good thing. But what did Saul do? But he changed direction, and he gave this woman to another person. And you wonder, why did he do that? Why did the king give the woman, he said, "She could be your wife," and then he changed and he gave her to another man? Let's read verse 19, it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. And why? You know, why? I feel it's because Saul, basically in a word, Saul is a bad guy. That's why I think it happened. Because he's provoking David. He's provoking. I give you my daughter. Then, you know, pause. No, I'm going to give her to him. Okay. But what is David, how does David deal with this provocation? No, it didn't bother him. And that's what one of the things I want to bring out tonight. It doesn't see, because there was another daughter as well, Michal, who loved David. This is where verse 20. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Like Saul is playing games, but David isn't. Like Saul is provoking David, but David is spiritual. He has something going on in his heart and his mind, and so do you. You know, so do you. This is beautiful. You have Christ in your life, and you are learning him and walking with him, and you're not easily provoked. Like, you don't easily get upset, because that's the characteristic of God's love. God's love is not easily provoked. Like, what could really upset us? Great peace have they that love your word. Nothing will offend them. Psalm 119:165. And there will be people that will play games with you. That will really happen. There'll be people that'll try to provoke you. There'll be people that'll say, I'm going to give you a raise at work. I'm going to give you a raise. It's going to be amazing. It never happens. You know, I like you. I'm going to do that. And it's like, great peace have they that love your word. And you're not easily provoked by people, you know? Isn't that a good point? Now, I realize that maybe you'd have to kind of read the text a few times and get along with me on what I'm thinking about this. I'm not saying it like, thus saith the Lord, but I am saying that provoking people is part that happens. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, classic story on that, right? The woman... Two women in the same household, one has children, the other one has no children, and the woman that has is provoking Hannah. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. This is the woman who could not have, was not having children. The woman in the house that was having child after child provoked her. Yeah, it's kind of like, nah, 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 you know, ha, 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 you know, fooey on you. You know, you don't have what I have, that idea. Let's go to the point. And that is what Zane said in the beginning. If I could relate to this great gift of God, Romans 8, if I understood what I am part of, if this was growing in my heart. Yeah, and as we worshiped, I was thinking, how does this really work, our fellowship? It's faith. Psalm 56, sing praises to the Lord. Is it? No, Psalm 47. Let's flip over there, please. Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. What does this mean? Clap your hands. Get going. Get worked up in it. Like, get into the body language of what it is. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. This is the greatness of God. This is the majesty of God, the greatness of God. He shall subdue the people under us. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Under us, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Reality of the Jewish people and them inheriting the earth one day, and the reality of the church and the church being new garment, new wineskins, new wine, new piece of a garment on a new garment, a whole totally new economy, different from the Judaistic economy of law. We have now the economy of grace, and we have new wine and new wine skins. The people are put under our feet. This is the Psalm, is it 44? David said it, 2 Samuel 23. All right, verse 7. No, 6. Or where am I now? Is it 5? God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Here's the verse I was thinking. 4 times, sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. What is this? Sing praises. Get it. Get a hold of it, realize it, relate to it, embrace it, praise him, clap your hands, shout, and sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Understanding grace, understanding faith, understanding promises, understanding how we relate in this world, not being provoked by evil men, but by being worshipers of a holy God. Verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. I was thinking of our conventions, and just in my heart, Pastor Luigi, and I was thinking of conventions here in June, and the French, and the Africans, and Hungarians, and the Finns. How many years, like year after year after year after year, decade after decade? And I was thinking, God, every year, all the time, and the spirit of understanding, the spirit of praise, the belief that we are to go into the highways and byways, the belief that I go to Bible college and I learn to concentrate. And then I was thinking of our online audience and the folks that are online month after month after month and listening and concentrating and worshiping in your home and trusting and believing and the Spirit of God being with us, where we're all together in the Spirit of God and we're rejoicing and singing, clapping our hands and shouting and laughing and embracing and believing. And one day we will see him. We will see Christ one day. And what love is in this present time. I was thinking of border crossings because I just kind of sentimentally thinking of the past and asking God to bring back to my mind things. Border crossings in the Ukraine. I remember being a week and I had to get back to Hungary by myself from the Ukraine. And I, for some reason, I could only take the train so far. Then I had to walk. Then I started to hitchhike. Then I got to the border. And then I remember a filthy bathroom that, I just can't even, a barn is cleaner. And I remember, and then walking through the Ukrainian border into Hungary, hitchhiking. I remember all these, and I made it to a McDonald's in a Hungarian city called Nyíregyháza, and it was like paradise. I sat in the McDonald's. I sat there and I had like a sandwich and a coffee. I sat, it was like amazing experience. I've never had a greater vacation. I've never been in a nicer hotel. I've never been in a better, I was like starving for summer. I don't remember the whole thing, but it was fun. Then leaving the city, hitchhiking to get back to Budapest. Now I remember the brothers, Chris Moore. I remember the Ukrainians. I remember the Hungarians. I remember the joy. I remember the faith. I remember our mission. And we would look to the east. We go, we will not stop until we go to Vladivostok, the furthest city in Russia. And the spirit of it, and it happened. 1990, 91, 92, 93, year after year, going with the gospel. It's what Zane said. It's real. It's faith in God. Nobody's any greater than anybody. Nobody's better than any. Nobody is excluded. Whosoever will. But I've noticed something. That, to use this illustration, when Saul says, you can have my daughter, and he's like kind of snickering in his sleeve, like he's like so happy that he can provoke, and he takes her and gives her to some other guy. David's like, oh, that's fine. Whatever you're doing, that's okay. I'm good. I've got love in my heart. I'm not easily provoked. I can handle this. Because I've got God and the Spirit of God. So go now, please, to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll just read the chapter to refresh our hearts and minds tonight. And I know you are such precious people coming tonight in Jesus' name to listen to the Bible speak to us. Verse 1, I'm going to abbreviate probably each one of these, but verse 1, I speak in tongues. I have a lot of noise. I have a gift, but do I have love? Do I have love? Can I handle, you know? I can say, hallelujah, hallelujah, go out in the parking lot and I have a flat tire. I just start cursing. I praise God in the church and I curse God in the parking lot. James chapter 3, bitter water and fresh water cannot come from the same place. You know, thorns and fruit are different and curses and blessings are different. I cannot curse people. I must bless them and pray for them and have love in my heart. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. And how many men and women of God understand the Bible so well. They can teach it from the front to the back. They can understand many parts. They can be professors at seminaries, pastors in pulpits. They can understand a lot of things and have all knowledge. But do they have love? I was with Pastor Mati in Central Asia one time. I saw him look out the window of our little place we were staying, and I saw a tear come to his eye. He just looked out the window, and I saw a tear come. And we were doing mission work in Central Asia in those years, 93, 94, 95, 96. And this was in Kyrgyzstan. And I looked out the window, and I saw a man going through the garbage can. And that's all that I saw. A man going through the garbage can. I saw Pastor Mati tear up. Because he cares. He saw that and it touched his heart. And Paul said that about Timothy. Timothy, I remember your tears. I remember your tears. I thought of this recently. And I read in a medical book, and I've got to double check it. I shouldn't even say this right now because I haven't really double checked. But I believe when you have tears of joy, your tear has a certain chemistry. When you have a tear of sorrow, it has a different chemistry. Isn't that amazing? I'm pretty sure I read that, but I got to double check it, as I said. But actually, I don't really care if it's true or not. It's like Susie. Susie, me, and I have a little joke together because, like I told some story. Maybe she said, is that true? And I go, I don't really know, but it had such a great effect. I remember, Timothy, I remember your tears. No. Timothy's tears, where did they come from? Was it tears of joy? Was it tears of seeing somebody go through a garbage can? Was a tear of sympathy? Was it a tear of pain, like he got hurt and he started to cry? Was it emotional? It's emotional, of course, but was it from a broken relationship? Many tears, many reasons. But I'm saying love has tears. Love has tears. Not just knowledge and understanding the Bible like a machine. We got to touch the spirit of the Bible. We got to weep with Jeremiah. We got to feel what God feels about Israel. And that's how I'm reading the Bible, and I'm sure you are too. The Spirit is bringing things to you from the Bible, and I get to feel what God is feeling in the Bible. This is love. That's love. That's our new life. And it's hard to package that, this mystery of Christ. We speak these things, we are faithful. A steward must be found faithful, and we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul said, pray for me that I would make known the mysteries of Christ, Ephesians 6. And this is what love is. I love this fellowship of love. I love the love I see in Pastor Butch Vieta, he and Jackie, aren't they amazing people? I see the love in Randy. Randy and Jenny. Wow, these people are awesome. I see the love in Kathy Ryan. Hey, come on, let's bring it up. Come on. No, I see love. I mean, look at Mike Toppy and his daughter there. Come on, look at them right over there. How could it? I mean, this guy loves. He's serious about it. It's amazing. I could say other names, but you're not going to think I'm serious if I say more names. but I am. Yeah, it's beautiful. Go to the next verse. It says, verse 2, it says, I could have all faith so that I could remove mountains. But you know what? I don't need you to remove a mountain just now. I just need you to love me. I don't need a mountain moved. I don't need something fantastic. I need you just to sit with me and just be quiet. Guys, I'm hurting. And just sit with me. Don't correct me. Don't tell me what's wrong. Don't talk about this or that. Just sit with me. Love me. That's what I need. You know what's great about grandkids? There's nothing greater in the world than for a kid to have a grandmother. Okay, let's pause for a moment. Write that on a t-shirt. Let's go. Hey, kid with a grandmother that loves him or her. Yeah, or a grandfather. It's an amazing gift. Well, wait a minute. What about us here? Isn't this a gift that we have each other, that we love each other? Isn't this a gift of God that we can sit quietly and just love each other and be together and care about each other in our hearts? Isn't this a great gift to us? It is. It's one of the best things we have in our lives, isn't it? The body of Christ. Go to verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. You know, you can give a lot of money away, philanthropy, a lot of money away. Yeah, and even sacrifice. Didn't a Buddhist monk in Vietnam, in protest of the war, pour gasoline on him and lit himself on fire, and the whole world saw this man in the street burned to death to protest the war? Yes, we saw that. What an act of sacrifice. But is there love there? Or is there bitterness? Or what is it? And we are not anybody's judge, but we're just saying a sacrifice doesn't mean that there's love. And giving money isn't evidence either. But by the way, this is the offering. Would you give all your money to the church? Thank you very much in Jesus' name. On your way out, okay. Give all your money, please. Okay, go to the next verse, 4. Charity suffers long. Days, hours, oh no, years. I counseled somebody, I said, could you wait 5 years? They're looking at me like 5 minutes, that's my capacity. 5 minutes. When we had our church problems, we went to Chicago and we said, give us a year. Oh, no, give us some time. Let's work together. Let's pray for each other. Let's fast and pray. Give some time. Can we suffer for a while? But sometimes we can't. We can't, but sometimes love is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. How many missionaries have gone to the field and no souls, no fruit for 8 years? William Carey, Adoniram Judson, nothing happens. But they love the people. They just stay. They just love the people. How about in our ministry? Why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why? What is going on? I don't know. I just feel it's God. God is with us. It's God's spirit, God's mind. God loves people. God loves people. He will never stop. That's a beautiful thing. So verse 4, and is kind, really kind. Kind words, kind spirit. Don't provoke. Don't provoke. Have you ever thought like Saul did? He was provoking David, trying to get David to get upset and trying to get him to fight, trying to get David. But David is on, he's in another place. Even Saul throws a javelin at David, and David kind of thinks it's some kind of a mistake, or he overlooks it. He doesn't bother him that much. You read it in 1 Samuel 18 and also 19. It happened more than once, so that's love. Love. Look at verse 4. Vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, he is not boasting. Doesn't have to be at the center of attention. Does not behave itself unseemly. It's just kind of like the regular guy in the crowd. Just kind of like a regular person that lives in the neighborhood. It's just kind of like a person quietly going their way. Those people are very attractive to us. That person that's like not boasting, not talking a lot, like not provoking you. They're just kind of mellow and going along. And the motivation isn't that they're trying to avoid getting in trouble. It's simply in our teaching tonight, it's simply the nature of love. That Jesus is there, and you couldn't even identify him in the crowd. It looks like in Isaiah 53. There was nothing about him that was attractive. Naturally, he was like blending in. He was a root out of dry ground. Who has believed our report? Who would even believe that this is God in the flesh? Who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up amongst us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And there's no comeliness in him that we would be drawn to him. But he is love. He'll be there with you. He'll be there talking. He'll be there ministering. He'll be there with you. He will love you. He will not fail you. He will not provoke you. He will look for the best for you. He will minister to you. He will say the truth, but he does it in love. This is a beautiful picture and a good message. Closing, a few more. It says, verse 5, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked. It's okay, Saul. It's okay. You can take your daughter. She is your daughter. You do with her as you please. It's okay. Don't worry about me. I am good. And his other daughter loves David. And that happens. But what else was it? David is not thinking so much of himself. And he is not thinking evil, verse 5. He thinks no evil. No jealousy, no animosity, no competition. He is not thinking evil. He is thinking love. He is satisfied. He is in fellowship with the second floor of the house. He is being filled with the Holy Spirit. He is being helped in a crisis. He is being comforted in times of difficulty. He is finding Jesus when he has a problem in his relationships with people. He is kind of giving them room, kind of giving people room to have their work, their things out. Love is very patient, very kind. Love is looking at the bigger picture. Love is not thinking evil. It's not focusing on a criticism or a complaint. If seeing things in love, the way God must see the world, how easily he could be upset with us, but how much patience he has with us. And when he looks at this world, he loves us. And he so loved us, he gave his son to the guilty and the ones that had no interest and the ones that did not understand and the ones that did not know anything about what was happening. But he did it because he loved us. He invested in us. He cared about us. And he's today praying for us. And he is loving us constantly. Everlasting love that never fails. Wow, that's pretty cool. Last verse, we'll just jump down to verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Have you ever seen children fight over toys? Have you ever seen children throw a tantrum in a grocery store? Have you ever seen a child not have any idea of what is really happening? Have you seen a child want the candy bar? Like that's all that they can see, all that they can focus on? Have you ever seen a child that behaves like a child and speaks like a child? Verse 11. And I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I stopped it. I stopped being childish. I stopped it. How'd you do it? I was in the church. How did you do it? I was around people that matured, that had love in their hearts. I said to my granddaughter the other day, I said, you know, marriages are beautiful. Marriage is a beautiful gift. Marriage is a precious thing. There are so many marriages in our church that are great examples. And I mentioned, you know, the Colbans and the Hadleys and just went through a whole list of people and the Taggarts. And then I didn't know what, and I said the Taggarts, and then I ran out of name. I said, and the Taggarts. And Poppy, you said their name already three times. The Taggarts. And I'm joking. So there are some people that they have a childish way of thinking, and we all do. But when we find Jesus as a habit by faith, I don't mean lightning coming from the heaven. I mean just the Spirit like dew on the grass, just the Spirit of love, peace, quietness, just patience. When we find Jesus in everyday living, like a glass of water, like every day, I need a glass of cold water. Thank you, Lord. I mean, if Jesus is something like this happening every day in our lives, then you put away childish things. And it's something you can be provoked, for sure. But there's something that you and I are growing in as a way of life. And it's a precious gift to us. We have it with each other. We are sisters and brothers to the end. We are people that are learning love to the end. We are people that are growing in Christ to the end and beyond. And we are people that have found our family. And it's so precious. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Thank you. Lord, we see through a glass darkly, but that's okay. That's enough, because we have love in our hearts. We don't have to see more, Lord. We have seen enough. We can see you. Sometimes we want to see more, but that day is coming. But until then, we have love. And even after, of course, we have love forever. But love is enough. It's enough for us to endure. It's enough for us to go through anything. Love is enough for this life. Love is enough for living in the presence of enemies, maybe. Or in a country, in our case, where we see a country that in one hand we are hurt or disappointed, or I am hurt in some way because of ungodliness and unrighteousness and things that just don't, killing babies in the womb and dishonoring police and law and order and other things that hurt. Because we didn't grow up in a place like that. We don't want a change like that. We want, but love, this is what we must learn. And put away childish things and learn to minister. Learn to love. Learn to have faith. Learn to rejoice in everything. Learn to sing praises, clap hands, and shout. to God and build up our church and draw people to Christ and see people drawn to you and grow in love. Growing in love. Yes, Lord. Growing in this love. Jesus, anyone here tonight not believing in Jesus, anybody on the internet, please believe in Jesus Christ personally tonight. Believe in him. Ask him into your life. And he's there. He is there. You have questions, ask the questions. You have doubts, walk by faith with the doubt. Believe, you don't know, well then go by faith in God. He loves you. You must do it. You must be born again. You must turn to him and repent from your own way and put your trust in Jesus Christ. He will change. He will save you and then grow by faith. Your life will change in your name, Lord. Amen.